The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, Howard. Yeah, it's 1st of September, back to school, so it's a big day in Israel. But before we talk about the back to school, I just want to quickly mention some breaking news, which is that there have been more reports from southern Syria, apparently accusing Israel of carrying out these attacks on targets near to the Damascus area. There are reports of people actually having been killed, various reports saying 5 people killed, 7 people killed, so I'm not quite sure exactly what to believe. So just another attack, but I think one of the interesting things that's come out is that there's a statistic that suggests that something like 1,000 surface-to-air missiles have been launched towards Israeli Air Force jets during missions over the past couple of years, and that Israel has apparently destroyed 1/3 of Syrian air defenses in the past year. So just an interesting statistic to demonstrate the extent to which there's been so much activity in that area over the past couple of years.
Wow. And it's just quite unbelievable. Let's just talk about the new school year. It's the 1st of September. Israel is always generally non-negotiable about this. School officially starts the 1st of September, although it never really does because everybody's always striking about something. What is the current situation? Are kids going back to school?
So kids are definitely going back to school. Exactly how many of the kids are going back to school and for how many hours they're going to school and for how many days a week they're going back to school is all a matter of discussion and negotiation and utter confusion. But apparently 2.5 million school children are back to school today. And I guess there's something like double that in the number of parents, or maybe not quite double, but a lot of parents very delighted to see the end of the summer school holidays. The negotiations and the brinkmanship went down to the last minute yesterday because our coronavirus commissioner, Ronnie Gumzu, decided that students in the towns and cities which have been labeled as red on the traffic light system, those schools will not open today. That's what he decided. Right. The Ministry of Education had different ideas. They were insistent that all schools should open. In the end, I'm happy to say that our coronavirus commissioner, Ronnie Gumzu, did prevail. His view, at least, did prevail. And as a result of that, schools in the red locations will not open today. There are all in all 24 red towns and cities across Israel. Interestingly enough, 16 of them are Arab majority towns and cities, and 6 of them are actually Haredi majority towns and cities. 4. 18 Arab and 4 of the others. So the rest, the 4 of them are Haredi majority, as a result of which those towns and cities will not be going back to school today. What Ronnie Gumzu said is that there is no doubt at all that if he opens the schools in those locations, there will definitely be students either carrying or with coronavirus who will go to school. And so he doesn't want to risk that. Unfortunately, ultimately, that view has prevailed. Everybody else is going back to school. But of course, it's an entirely different system. You have to fill out health declarations for every child every day. No child can go to school without parents having signed off that they've had their temperature tested and they're not showing any symptoms and all the rest of it. And a lot of these declarations have been computerized now, put on apps on the phone, so parents have got to be furiously filling out every day for their kids before they go to school. Many of the children are going to school only 2 or 3 days a week for frontal classes. The other days they're going to be studying at home. There are significantly reduced school hours in many cases because the number of children in the classes has had to be reduced in order to try to maintain social distancing. So it is officially the 1st of September, which is kind of Shalom Kita Aleph Day, which is the way that it's normally described, particularly for those children who are starting school for the first time. But what an experience it will be for them, and what stories they will no doubt have to tell their children one day about their first day back to school with masks and health declarations before they can walk into the school building.
Just on that conversation a little bit earlier about somebody said that Barney is a Rachmonis or a Nebish. Karen M. says a Nebish is someone who, when he walks into the room, you feel as though someone has left. That's brilliant.
Well, I don't know, to me, a Rachmonis is really a Nebish, Howard. I mean, I might have thought that a Rachmonis, almost you need to feel sorry for them, don't you?
Yeah, if you're that kind of a person, you're sensitive.
Have a little bit. I mean, that's where the word comes from, Rachmanut, to have a little bit of sense of feeling sorry for somebody.
I guess so. We were just talking about Barney. Of course, that is the story about Israel going back to school. Hamas has announced that it has reached a ceasefire understanding with Israel to de-escalate the tension. What is the basis of this understanding? We don't even know why this started, let alone why it's ending, and if it is ending.
It's all very interesting to see how this situation operates. The Hamas operatives, of course, have been sending these terror balloons, some of them with explosives attached to them. It is a terror situation. There can be no doubt that even a simple balloon, which has just got a flame, that is on the bottom of it, is a weapon of terror, because as soon as it lands anywhere, particularly in the weather that we have at the moment, that sets fire. 20, 30, 40 fires a day have been fought around the Gaza border. That is a form of terror, and it's been very, very frightening, especially those balloons that have been carrying explosive devices. It's been very frightening for the people who live around that area. And so apparently now the Qatari government and a Qatari representative has negotiated some sort of a peace understanding, ceasefire, call it what you want, between Hamas and Israel. The Israeli government is saying very little or nothing about any of this, but Hamas announced it officially, thanking Qatar for its efforts and for its support of the Palestinians. Not a great deal has really been divulged about what the basis of the understanding is. But from what we can gather, it includes a pledge to carry out several infrastructure projects by Qatar in the Gaza Strip area. It also increases Qatari cash grants to Palestinian families. It also includes, as I understand it, that Israel will agree to reopen border crossings and also to expand the fishing zone that has been severely curtailed as a result of these terror activities, and also to facilitate the entry of medical supplies, medicine into the Gaza Strip, and also fuel in order to be able to power the electricity, the power plant in Gaza, and to allow, obviously, power when we're having a very, very hot weather. And I have no doubt that that will be welcome. Hopefully, in return for that, we can have a little bit of peace and quiet along the Gaza border, which means no missiles being fired, not even by renegade groups that are under no control of Hamas, that we will have none of these terror balloons being sent over. However, our experience has shown that whenever we kind of agree to these types of arrangements, ceasefires, call them what you wish, inevitably it degenerates at some point, because it's always some renegade group. It's not our fault if somebody else is doing it. They're outside of our control. But eventually, that ramps up to a real terror situation where numerous missiles are being fired, particularly over the weekends for reasons which I haven't quite understood. And of course, these terror balloons are being sent over. And then as a result of that, Israel is forced again to pull the strings in and to tighten things up and to reduce the flow of goods and services into Gaza, fuel, you know, some sort of punishment, if you like, being administered. And of course, IDF attacks on Hamas targets. So hopefully all of that will calm down a little, and the children will be able to return to school in relative peace and security. And we can have a little bit of peace and quiet on that board, although who knows how long it'll last.
Absolutely. Let's just talk about the UAE. Yesterday, of course, being the first historic flight, we spoke about that, but it happened after the show. Really just phenomenal. The footage, the imagery, the whole concept was just the papers in the newspapers in UAE leading with Shalom Salam as a headline. It quite literally brings tears to one's eyes. because of how magnificent the moment is that that Israel could finally achieve a state of peace and, more than that, cooperation with the UAE. But now Prime Minister Netanyahu has invited a delegation from the UAE to visit Israel in the near future. Is this likely to happen?
I think so. I think that the UAE government is quite determined to make a good go of this peace arrangement, that it will not simply be a cold peace in the way that we had for so many years with Egypt, but more particularly with Jordan, which has been kind of what I would call just a ceasefire rather than a true peace where there's been a lot of cooperation and economic flow and some friendships built between the two countries. With Jordan, it's been very reluctant indeed. We shouldn't underestimate the value of having a quiet border without any hostilities. That is not to be underestimated. It would be nice, however, if it could take that one step further and create even some friendly feelings between the two. And I think that the UAE government is certainly determined to do that. We saw that in various announcements in the very friendly way that the delegation was received yesterday when they landed in Abu Dhabi. And of course, in the fact that they seem very willing to come and return the visit. Prime Minister Netanyahu did formally extend an invitation through his representative, Meir Ben Shabbat, who headed the delegation to the UAE yesterday. And he said, "We will welcome them with a red carpet as they welcomed us." Those were the words of Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday. What we also understand is that there is actually going to be some sort of a signing ceremony in Washington, including delegations from the UAE and from Israel to come together with the US, who have been instrumental in negotiating this arrangement. Netanyahu said that he's instructed the delegation, Israeli delegation, to prepare as soon as possible an official agreement that will be signed in Washington. So that's going to be an interesting one to see, because I think these things usually come with a bit of a fanfare and a signing ceremony in the Rose Garden, wherever it is, at the White House. And so it's quite unusual under these circumstances not to have that. But certainly friendly things yesterday, very, very positive, even though it was very fascinating to see that the government of the UAE did make a statement saying that they very much support the Palestinian cause and that the Palestinians have not been forgotten in any of this peacemaking arrangement. We know, of course, that the Palestinians feel that they have really been left out, and even that there's been some sort of treachery on the part of the UAE signing this agreement with Israel. So it's going to be interesting to see how they tread that path. But at the moment, certainly good things are rising.
Yeah, incredible. And let's just talk very quickly about the Tour de France.
Yeah, I mean, and for the first time ever, an Israeli cyclist is cycling in the Tour de France, and an Israeli team called Israel Startup Nation, the Israeli cyclist being Guy Niv. He is the one Israeli member of this Israeli team. The team consists of a number of other quite well-known cyclists, all of whom are riding in the Tour de France, which has started a little later this year than was planned, obviously because of Corona and also under some quite interesting rules. The rest of the team include Dan Martin from Ireland, André Greipel and Niels Pollitt from Germany, Ben Hermans and Tom van Asbroek from Belgium, and Frenchman Hugo Hofstetter, as well as Latvian cyclist Chris Nalens. We do know that the Israel Startup Nation team has signed South African Daryl Impey. He's due to join the team in 2021. And also Chris Froome, who is, of course, a previous Tour de France winner, very, very famous cyclist, really done some amazing things in the cycling world under a little bit of a cloud at the moment. But he's due to join Israel Startup Nation next year. So it's going to be very, very exciting, not only to see how the Israeli team do in this year's Tour de France, but also to see how things come about next year with Impey and with Froome joining the team as well. I think it's going to be interesting, not only for Israelis, but also for some South Africans, to see veteran Daryl Impey joining the Israeli team next year.
Absolutely amazing. Anthony Reich, thank you as always.